I gotta let my boys in the on last comic shop know that I watched it, so we can have a follow-up to our last June's discussion about it.
I'm
So,
sure.
yeah. Greetings, greetings, fellow nerds. Yeah, it's Thursday, 8 o'clock-ish. Time for some Toddcasting. So sorry we're a few minutes late. I went to see The Crow today and Justin hasn't seen it yet, so I was giving him a spoiler for review, which I will give to you later. Yay. Spoiler, I liked it. Anyway, so this weekend we got a lot of stuff going on. So if you are in town, you can go to our waterfront store, drop some stuff off to CBCS from sa on Saturday between 12 and 5. Robert Hack will also be there signing all kinds of stuff. Really, he signs literally everything. I have a bottle somewhere around here that he signed. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna drop your stuff off Cody. Cody's gonna go, okay, cool, this is how much you owe. He's gonna walk you over to the register. The guys at the store are gonna ring you out, and then he's gonna take your books. He's gonna send them off in a couple, hopefully within like 2 months. That's been about the range of return. You will get your stuff back. Madison just got her cards that she submitted at the show. The grades came back. 2 9-5s and a 10.
Oh,
Crazy.
nice.
Yeah, she was like, "Woo!" Great. So,
Nice.
she was very happy, very happy and flat. Then, if you're not in town and you want to go down to Morgantown, you can check out Todd at WV PopCon. They have a lot of guests going on. The one professor guy from Stranger Things is going to be there. Kind of cool.
Not Ted Danson.
No.
Yeah, I was
That'd
gonna
be
say that
cool
would have
though.
been a hell of a coup getting Ted
Right?
Danson down there. Holy cow.
Right? Ted Danson wasn't on Stranger Things.
He was the wasn't he the professor in the first season?
No.
He was the
No,
I thought
no, there's a dude that kind of looks. No, you're thinking. No. The dude who was the professor in Stranger Things is the guy who played Marty McFly's dad in Back to the Future.
Huh.
Hold on. I'm
He
bringing it
looks
up.
like Ted Danson. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He does kind of look like a
I was
younger.
gonna say he looked re like the last time I saw Ted Danson, he was doing CSI
Yeah,
before
that was the
it,
last thing
like
I
that
saw too.
final like the final episodes or whatever.
Right?
And you know, and then like he was you saw his white hair, still has the coif from Cheers
You're
going
Matthew
on.
Modine is who you're thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, what
Yeah,
the
but
hell is that dude's name? But it is Matthew Modine.
okay.
Okay. And if you want to go to the other side of the state, I will be in Harrisburg hanging out, bringing graphic novels, some minor key
Funkos.
stuff, some Funko, some wall stuff at the Harrisburg Comic Con. Both such events are Saturday and Sunday. It's a lot of fun. I'm excited to go and do it. Oh shit, so much stuff going on. Oh
Just be
god.
thankful you're not in Chicago. So,
Oh yeah. I
well,
mean,
it would have been after what's going on currently.
yeah, I was gonna say that ends tonight, so
Yes, it does.
you know, and that's been pretty crazy. A lot of viewership, a little higher than the other one.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Especially on the socials.
yep. A lot of good memes coming out of both of them though, so it was good. So,
Yes.
but hey, at least one guy knows what a donut is. So, anyway, and that you don't put Swiss cheese on a Philly cheesesteak. Yeah, that was not good. That was definitely a you screwed up Pennsylvania. Good job. But anyway, we're gonna not talk about that because no one likes that. So we're gonna go right into comics, and let's do this. Let me Get my share screen going on. Boom. Oh, look, I get to go first. How about that? This
I
was the book I
also
couldn't
read
remember.
this. Yeah.
This was good. This
Oh, yeah.
I'm really liking this new Witchblade. Marguerite Bennett is really hitting it really well.
Yeah.
This
I like the
book, this
variant
issue,
cover for this was really nice too.
So the beginning of this book is actually a little slow, because like she's still dealing with the fact that she killed a bunch of dudes. So she has them, she's kind of in jail, and then she gets out of jail, she starts walking around and she eats like a ton of ramen. And she's realizing that she can like her senses are like extremely heightened. And then there's a couple guys that are like beating the shit out of somebody with bats. So she goes full Witchblade and just kicks the shit out of all of them. I loved that whole scene. And then you get to see Ironside kind of being like, I'm gonna I like I really want to get this wristband off of her and do this thing, but I can't do that because she needs to do this stuff. And you see Sarah kind of being like, oh, God, like I wish I wasn't so horny, which is weirdly said in this book, weirdly. So she ends up like doing a booty call with a dude, and then one of the bad guys that she killed a whole bunch of guys shows up at the door. Her Witchblade kicks in, and she literally slices the dude in half in what is possibly the coolest, one of the coolest panel, couple panels of comics I've seen in a long time. The art
Definitely.
for it was absolutely phenomenal.
I
The
was gonna
fact that the
say if
dude wasn't dead yet was great.
it, I was
So.
gonna say it, we were like talking about art pages, and if I could get that art page on there,
The
that would be cool.
page of him laying in half, or the page where she actually kills
Yeah,
him.
when he gets sliced, because
Oh yeah.
that was
Yeah, it was
beautiful.
really good. And speaking of art pages, like anyway, that's where this book ends. I like how in the backs they've been putting like cool, like this is how this page progressed. So it's like the like thumbnails into like the sketch into the full color with words.
Yeah.
I'm really digging it. Like they even did it for this cover, which was awesome. And a couple of the variant covers too. So I've been really digging this book a lot. It's nice to have Sarah back. I like the new look. I like the vibe of this book. It's very classic. So yeah, I'm gonna give this book let's go with a Western omelet with extra spicy cheese, a little bit of salsa on top, but no sour cream.
Ooh.
It's been very good. I dig it a lot. So, all right, your first book.
All
Which,
right.
by the way, I think I picked the dumbest looking cover for this because it's the main cover, and all of the variants for this book are so much better looking.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I picked
I
up the one
almost
where
put up the Saturday morning
riding.
cartoon one.
I picked up the one where he's riding the Triceratops. Because that looked
Nice.
pretty badass,
Did you see the
but
Saturday morning one? Because that's my favorite.
I didn't actually.
I'll try to find it here while you're
Yeah,
doing your
but
review.
yeah, we got a Wolverine's Revenge number one. Like I said, as a Wolverine fan, this has been the year of Wolverine like books, good, bad, in between. There's been more good than bad. This one definitely, like, I was not expecting Hickman to write this. I didn't even think it was him and Marvel were on good terms. So,
Fair.
especially after the whole X-Men Krakoa era there, I was not expecting this. So, And art, of course, done by Greg Capullo, who hasn't done Wolverine in a long time. So it's nice to see Capullo do something other than Spawn
Or Batman.
or Batman. Yeah, Capullo. So you got the in between with Wolverine, who's basically, kind of Batman with extraordinary powers. So, but basically, Wolverine is in the Savage Land, which is where the dinosaur theme for most of these covers came from. He's helping the local tribe hunt what looks what they called as a monster, which in the Savage Land, what is a monster? It's a dinosaur out of control. And of course, the dinosaur is like comes towards him. The tribe runs. Wolverine just smiles and he's like, ah, some exercise, and just starts slicing and dicing them. And before he could finish the kill, though, you see this laser shot come and totally decimate it. And we see Nick Fury and what looks like all the beloved members of SHIELD that everybody knows, the Doug Dugum and
Nice.
who else? I'm trying to remember her name and it's slipping my mind.
Quake?
No.
No. Maria Hill?
Maria Hill, yes. So it's and Nick's like, Wolverine, we need your help. While you were down here, things in the world have been going topsy-turvy, and Wolverine's like, I don't care. And he's like, oh, you will. So he's like, come on. They finally convince him. He's up there, and you see Cap and Bucky, Winter Soldier Bucky. And Nick explains that Asteroid M imploded in Quebec, devastating like basically most of the Western Hemisphere. Like North America is like decimated. Like South America and Central America are okay, and then everybody in the East are okay. But they says like definitely, this was a something going on. Millions of people are either dead, dying, and Asteroid M caused like an EMP, so there's a lot electrical, the electronics are like all messed up everywhere. So Wolverine's like, well, why didn't SHIELD take care of this? What do you need me for? And he's like, the three helicarriers that we are currently flying in the air are the last three helicarriers, period. There are no more. That is what's left of SHIELD is three helicarriers. So they're trying to figure out what caused this, and we find out that the Brotherhood was somehow involved in this, and that they have working facilities where no one else in the general world has it. So, and the Brotherhood is being led by Mastermind. So they're heading towards where they've tracked the Brotherhood. All of a sudden, one of the helicarriers explodes. One of the SHIELD colonels gets his mind taken over by Mastermind and ends up firing on the one helicarrier, and then they find that out. They're like, jump, everybody jump out. So you see, everybody jump as the other helicarrier destroys the other one. So there are no more no more helicarriers, and you see just a handful of SHIELD agents. Wolverine and Cap, Bucky are left. So as they're heading around, they're searching, you're seeing everybody being captured or killed, and I mean everybody. Marie Hill gets her head ripped off. Cap and Bucky get captured. And you see who's doing it. You see Omega Red, you see Sabretooth, and you see Deadpool. So this is like some very old school, Wolverine versus all his rogues gallery, basically, is what I'm getting the gist of it here. They finally capture Wolverine because he was the last one, and they knock him out. He wakes up and he looks down, and there is an incision in his chest. Same goes for Cap and Bucky. They all have bombs in their chests.
A very
And
Suicide Squad.
Well, basically it's they're talking and they're like, well, what do you guys want? They're like, we didn't do anything to you. We're just trying to get everything kind of back to normal. Of course, Deadpool goes on a crazy rant and Mastermind kind of does his bad guy monologue, but then you Mastermind's like, I'm not the true leader. But they turn and they reveal the true leader of the Brotherhood is Colossus. So
What?
Colossus is like the bad guy in here.
Is it bearded Colossus or not bearded
Yes, it's
Colossus?
bearded Colossus.
Okay, cool. Then okay, I approve.
Okay, so they're like, well, what are you going to do? They're like, we're friends, they're former teammates. Why are you doing this? And Peter's not kind of answering quite, anything. He's just kind of like, it's just the West's time has come, it's time for America or the North America to pay for its crimes against the rest of the world. And it's just kind of divine intervention because he's like, we didn't cause this, but we were saved from the after effects of it. And we're just going to let it play out. And they're like, we're going to let you go and you're going to let it play out, or we'll just, turn the bombs on and you all die. Well, of course, Wolverine tells Bucky and Cap, go run because, I'm sure the range for this bomb has a limit. So if you run out, everything will be fine. Well, Deadpool, of course, has a tr itchy trigger finger. He just presses his button. Boom. Cap and Bucky are dead.
What?
This is some hardcore book. Like, there's a reason it came with the wrapped in blood thing. This is some bloody shit. And then Wolverine, they're like, what do you? Wolverine's like, are you going to come down and talk to me, or do I have to come up there and get you? And Peter's like, well, I don't think you're going to live. Well, Wolverine, like, of course, pops his claws and starts tearing into his own chest to rip out the bomb, and the bomb goes off as he's just getting it out. So and it's kind of where it ends. He's reforming himself because that's what happens with Wolverine. So I can't wait to see where this goes. Bravo Hickman for some serious hardcore in the first book, killing off not only like Shield, but Cap and Bucky. Bravo.
So
And I
crazy.
can't wait to see that where this book goes because this is some interesting stuff. I'm gonna give this. Oh, can I say we have like a dino steak and eggs? Dino steak, dino eggs. Maybe have a what's a good
Sure.
hot? What's good? What's a good hot beverage that has a kick to it? When we say warm fireball shot to
There you
go
go.
with it. There we go. This is a spicy book. And mature guys, mature. So if you have kids, do not let them read this. Wow,
This
that
is
is really, wow, yeah.
right. I love
Yeah,
it.
that
I
is not
love it.
appropriate for this book.
I know, that's why I love it. Great.
Wow.
All right. Are you finished?
Yes, that was it.
Okay. All right, my next book is Venomous Number One, then from the Venom War. This is by Erica Schultz. It's a quick read, which is nice. The art's fantastic. So I'm trying to catch up with the rest of the Venom War, but basically, you can imagine it's kind of like Spider Island, but with all the symbiotes and not as crazy as like the Venom, the Planet of the Symbiotes was. So this starts out with Black Widow is at an auction, and a guy comes out, a scientist comes out, and he's like, "I have this new thing that you would really want. It's called a symbiote." And they bring out like a guy who's like strapped to a table, and she starts talking to her symbiote, which is called Sliver, about trying to
Sliver.
take down the villain, or the symbiote. So this symbiote, because it's like manufactured, is like mindless. So she swings down and grabs the doctor in her Black Widowy symbiote outfit, which really kind of looks like the original Black Widow outfit, in my opinion. Anyway, puts him up on the wall, tries to beat up the bill or the other symbiote, the mindless one, and her symbiote can't talk to that one because it's so dumb. But eventually they grab the rest of the serum, inject the guy with it, and it just stops the it just kills the symbiote, so it just kind of dies off the guy. And she's like, "All right, well, I'm gonna get you to the hospital," grabs the professor guy, tells Sliver, "You can do whatever you need to with him, just don't kill him." So she bait it like so that symbiote basically like eats his brain to the point where he doesn't remember anything. He's just kind of a drooling slob on the floor. She leaves, runs into Flash Thompson, who is Agent Anti-Venom at this point.
Nice.
Yeah, I really like it because he's dressed like he was when he was Agent Venom, but he's Anti-Venom now. And it's funny because she mentions Sliver, and he's like, "Who the hell is Sliver?" Sliver's then like, "We are the Widow." It's pretty funny. But
I
anyway,
play
they
Magic the
go
Gathering.
right. So they go in and they end up beating up or getting into this warehouse that's filled with like these half symbioted mutated beings, and they put them into cold storage. And then they realize at the end of the book, when they put them into cold storage, that the symbiotes are animating the dead bodies.
Oh.
So, yeah, so Venom War is apparently going to be some kind of weird mix between Marvel Zombies and Planet of the Symbiotes.
Huh.
Yeah, so I enjoyed the shit out of this book. I'm not a big Venom guy, so but I like Agent Venom. Like I like Flash Thompson as Venom, so that's why I picked it up. I'm giving this book, oh man, let's go with weirdly, I'm gonna give it a bowl of ice cream for breakfast because it's just that weird, right? Like it's just like I don't really know what's going on. If someone walked out with a bowl of ice cream for breakfast, you'd probably also be like, "I don't really know what's going on with this guy." So that's where I'm going to go with that. But it was good. It
Nice.
was enjoyable. It was a very quick read, which I appreciated, because a lot of books lately have just been really long. So yeah, check it out.
Nice. Oh, now we got giant sized Thor, number
You're a
one.
giant size Thor. I mean, what?
We open this book with Thor talking to the spirit of the tree, in Asgard. Well,
Yggdrasil?
he thinks he's talking to it. It's not really talking to him, but he thinks it's who he's talking to.
Okay.
And then, I guess he rips out his one eye, and he was gonna, and then we get flashed into what's going on, like I guess in reality, where we see a bunch of aliens praying, like you do where when Galactus comes to eat their planet, you always see like the aliens praying, "Dear God, let him spare us," type thing.
Oh,
That's what it's
right.
kind of feels like in this. Except it's not Galactus, it's a giant sized robot shaped like Thor.
Is it a Klor? Like his
Yeah.
clone?
No.
Oh,
No,
it's Robot Thor.
it's Robot Thor.
Oh,
So
even better.
you got Thorbot. There we go. You got a Thorbot in there. And it comes onto the surf planet surface.
Would you call it thought?
Yeah.
Sorry,
I
bad innuendos. Wrong. Bad, John. Bad. Go ahead, continue on, my.
This is a PG-13 podcast, folks. We're
I
slowly
do
going into
always check the
R.
box that says we're probably going to swear on it, so whatever.
Right.
This is
And
the.
it looks
I mean,
like,
it is giant size.
yeah, it is. Oh,
Thought
and it
book.
is
We're
Thor.
okay. Hey-o.
But it looks like the bot is being run by, I want to say this is the Kree. The blue skin
Probably.
Kree? Okay. Well, the Kree are using Thor as the engine for this Thor bot. So they got, you see him all hooked up, kind of like very Matrixy, where he's like hooked up all the, and it, his helm is actually the visor that's like
Yeah.
inserted into his head. And the bot starts, of course, shooting lightning all over the place, because that's what Thor does, is shoot lightning everywhere.
It is
Well, as
true.
this is going on, we see Hercules flying in a guardian ship. And Guardians, I mean Guardians of the Galaxy, as he is talking to Rocket, who is bitching him out for taking the ship, going, "What are you doing? We're supposed to go drinking, and he's like, you just up and left with our ship. What are you doing?" He's like, "I am the god of heroes, and so, this planet needs a hero, blah, blah, blah." And Rocket's like,
We're going
"What
drinking.
the?"
It's fine.
He's like, "What the hell are you talking about?" Like, Rocket is just being, you see like this holographic Rocket just like yelling at him and screaming at him. And as the ship's going towards the planet, of course the Kree are detect like, "Hey, incoming ship. Well, let's blast it with the Thor lightning." So they shoot lightning at it. And of course the Guardians ship's shields hold, and you see the lightning kind of bounce off. And they're starting to panic a little bit. As this is going on, we get like a flash, a dream flash into, I guess you want to call it, into Thor as he's talking to the spirit, going, "What am I to do? Am I to, sacrifice my eye like father?" And the spirit that he was talking to in the first panel here was saying, "No, your father already did that. You have to go beyond this." So next thing you know, he's like reaching, you see him reaching, and he's like literally tearing like both his eyes out and like part of his upper head. Like he's just like gouging himself.
Okay.
And of course, while this is happening, the Kree are panicking because what's going on? The bot's losing power, this, that, and the other. And of course, Hercules crashes the ship into the bot and starts all sorts of havoc. where he finds Thor, whose face is all mangled. You don't see it completely. You just see like they kind of black out his face, but you can tell there's damage because there's blood dripping. And he's like, well, there's nothing that the Odin like force can't fix, you know. So it slowly fixes his face and everything. Then he's like, I sacrificed, you know, like part of me to, you know, gain further wisdom. And then it just becomes a giant, you know, brawl as the Kree get their butts handed to them by Hercules and Thor. It's pretty much just a blood fest at that point because it's just those two together are just going to beat the crap out of the Kree, you know, no matter who they put in. And that is the end of this story as they, you know, they help the planet and they apologize for what happened, and that's the end. But the other half of this Thor book is the classic as a, I want to say this looks like the a 80s reprint of Hercules versus Thor fight
Cool.
on Earth, which is fine. Like it's a cool little reprint. You know, I read the story and I'm like, oh yeah, this is totally 80s, early 80s, late 70s. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So it's a nice little giant size book. I kind of enjoyed this. I've enjoyed most of the current Thor runs, the last couple Thor runs in general. I always like looking at stuff from the past because I never read Thor before, like Donny Cates really kind of remade him, you know. So
That's fair. I mean,
I
I
want to.
mostly read like the Ron Frenz stuff, so, and then the Matt Fraction stuff, and then the Jason Aaron stuff.
So it's, you know, this was pretty good. I'm gonna give this like two eggs. Give me a sausage, a couple pieces of bacon, and give me some home fries with that too. This was a good hearty book. Fans of Thor are gonna love this. Fans of Hercules are gonna chuckle and love this. Because it's typical Hercules and typical Thor, you know. So it's by far not the worst book I've ever read. Definitely above average. You know, the art was excellent. You know, both
Cool.
ends. So
Awesome. All right, my last book, Red Coat number 5. So, this book, at the end of the last book, we were all like, oh, son of a bitch, George Washington is the bad guy. It's the other immortal, crazy guy that's hunting him down. Well, at the beginning of this book, they talk about how he's like, oh, well, George Washington was like crazy and he put himself on the dollar bill and because he was the immortal and da 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 da. And then they kind of go through this fight of where they're basically like, Einstein, you can't go through this stuff anymore. Like, we don't need you to do stuff. And then all of a sudden the bad guys throw the liar's axe or the liar's hatchet at Simon. It scratches or it cuts him, so now he's been cut twice in the same day. They need him to cut three times to kill him. Can't think of his name. Benedict Arnold saves them, gets them out of from stuff. They end up at J.P. Morgan's daughter's place, and they find out that these guys are having some kind of meeting, and she's like, "Oh, I might be able to get you in, whatever, cool." So they basically have a fight of like, "No, Einstein, you have to leave." And when he finally gets rid of him, they go and they get on this big freaking boat, which is where the meeting's gonna be. And Simon ends up getting hit again with the axe, and this time he starts glowing. And you find out that actually Benedict Arnold has been impersonating George Washington this entire time, and Benedict Arnold is actually the leader, and he is the grand architect of the bad guys. This book has just become like a personal, amazingly good favorite of mine. It's got everything you need. It's got weird sci-fi, it's got magic, it's got history, like sort of history. It's a lot of fun. It's got Einstein as a kid, but he likes magic instead of science. It's all kinds of good. I give this book like the All-American Slam from Denny's. Super good. I'm really enjoying this book a lot. I love a lot of the Ghost Machine stuff that they're doing in general. Make sure you check it out. All right, while you review this, I'm going to run downstairs for a few minutes. I'll be right back. But I'll be able to
All
hear you,
right.
so.
All right. Okay, we got Rat City number five. Now I know John what read the first two, and I've
Stealing
been
my
reading
book.
it as well. But I'm a Spawn guy and I love this story. This is by far my favorite of the new Spawn books from this year. So but we left off with was it the Dr. Emon holding a gun to the Lieutenant Karnin and Quinlan? Yeah, Quinlan. And you kind of get a flashback to the backstory for Dr. Boz and Dr. Amon and how they met and how they started working together. But you get like this shady corporate guy, very similar to kind of like a Jason Wynn. If we're going to go in the Spawn universe, this feels like very Jason Wynn, or maybe like a Violator, like disguised as a human. We don't know yet. That's not revealed, but you do get more of how Dr. Amon's slowly kind of going insane, always accusing Dr. Boz of trying to take his work, take credit for his work, what have you. In reality, I think it was the corporate people kind of messing with Dr. Boz and Dr. Amon. But we kind of flash forward and we're kind of back into the situation. He demands to know like how the lieutenant's suit works, doesn't realize that this is more of a mystical supernatural thing than it is a scientific thing. And he's also asking where his files are at, which Quinlan's like, there are no files here. I don't know what you're talking about. And we see Dr. Emon like fire this blaster, this gun, whatever it is, at them. And you don't think it really hits anybody. At least it doesn't, the book doesn't show that. But the lieutenant starts hallucinating. Now, this is something that happened in the actual original Spawn comic with Al Simmons, with the when the cloak, his symbiote cloak, has wants to protect the host, it induces like hallucinations to make the host more agreeable to what the suit is going to do. So you see him and he starts hallucinating, like Quinlan and Dr. Emon like yelling at him both sides, going, kill him, kill him. And their faces melt, and you see the Violators. So, this is kind of like the first appearance of the Violators in the Rat City books. I don't know if this is a real thing or if this is just the hallucination caused by the symbiote. We don't know quite. But as this is going on, Dr. Emon and Quinlan are just looking at the lieutenant, and he's just on the ground, slumped over. But the cape, his symbiote has shot out like point edges and sort of like you see like a mace and a scythe and stuff like coming out of it, like deal, like in the shape of, I should say. And Ermon tries to take Quinlan, and in response to that, we see Lieutenant just slice him right through, kills him. But that's where the book ends, because you don't know if it's the lieutenant controlling him or controlling himself, or if this is the symbiote kind of taking over and doing things on the automatic. This was really good because this definitely touches into a lot of old school Spawn lore stuff that Todd's been building for like decades about, how the symbiote works for Spawn and Hell Spawns and stuff. So this was pretty good. I said a little slow with the backstory and stuff. We could do without the backstory of the crazy scientist guys. But you have to, for context and to kind of explain like the how the new world treats people, it's understandable. I want to say give this a good, give me a good omelet. Some, give me some diced up mushrooms and sausage in this. This is some good stuff. I'm enjoying where this is taking us. Can't wait to see what happens in the X episode. I hope there's a little bit more explanation than where they went with this, but so far so good. I haven't been disappointed with any of the Rat City story so far. So
Cool.
plus I like the variant is very nice as well. That's the one I took. I took the cover B. It's very nice.
I took cover I almost always take cover A, unless it's like something really, really crazy. So.
I usually do too, but it's I definitely look at some variants that will speak to me, and I'll be like, I kind of like this cover slightly better than the cover A, so.
Well, Grant's in the chat.
Oh. Hey,
Finally.
Grant.
All right. So we've completed our comic stuff. By the way, I'm sorry for all the noise in the background. I've been trying to bag as many books as I can and get my pile down to something manageable. And by manageable, I basically mean like stuff that I'm going to take to this con this weekend. So while I'm at the hotel, I can, like catch up. Something like 35 books with me to read this weekend. So hopefully I'll get to them.
That's why you take something like this, where you could just read them digitally, and you don't have to take them with
Yeah,
you.
I mean, I could do that, but then I would look like a bad comic retailer. So, but yeah, so I have two store folios ready to go, and then I forgot that I had Sunstone Volume 8 sitting here too. So I'm like, shit, do I take you or do I not? So yeah, I have about like 10 more books to actually just bag. But now we're gonna go and do the spoiler-free version of the new Crow movie that came out today. Because I didn't know what my schedule was going to look like for the con weekend, I just said, screw it, I'm going to go see it today, because I guarantee somebody's going to ask me about it while I'm at the show, so I wanted to do it now.
I
And
first and
it
foremost,
just.
I have to say, like, it was really weird that there was so much buzz early on about this movie,
Yeah.
and then as soon as they saw that people were being negative about it, they just kind of, well, we're gonna push it back, and we're not gonna do
We're just
anything after that.
gonna stop
We're just going
talking
to
about
release
it.
it.
It's cool.
Yeah, because it, I totally, I knew it was pushed back, but I didn't know when. Like I knew it was August, sometime August, but
Right.
I was like, boy, I was like, I even started thinking, I was like, isn't the crush supposed to come out this month? And then like you were telling you messaged me and said, oh, I'm gonna go see the movie. I'm like, when did that come out? They're like, oh no, this weekend. I'm like, oh, I was like, okay. I was like, congratulations. Who's putting this out? Is this like Warner Brothers, Paramount?
Lionsgate.
Yeah, congratulations, Lionsgate, for really pushing your movie, dumbasses. Holy hell. No wonder Hollywood's going to crap. I mean, and I usually like Lionsgate stuff because, you know, they put out Saw, one of my favorite series of all time. You know, they have no aversion to showing us Saw clips months in advance for their movies.
All right. So now's your time, because in case I accidentally do spoil something, get out. So I enjoyed it. And I'll be honest, my only real criticism, and Justin asked me this before we got on the show, so I don't think it's spoilery if he asks, but you might think it is. So it is not the same backstory for Eric and Shelley, but Eric and Shelley are the main characters. Now, I will say what I did like about it is they do a lot more development developing their story, like how they met, how they fell in love, that kind of thing. But their whole reason for dying, like that changes. Like none of the other characters from the comic or the first movie are in there. Skull Cowboy is in there, but he's not a skull. And he is the character that basically t says, like, follow the crow, he'll tell you what to do. The crow is the key to all of this type thing. So that's what he does. And it's very cool. Like there's scenes where like they're like in like a purgatory, and like this story really reminds me of the Greek myth Orpheus more than any of the other crow stuff. This really reminds me of the Greek myth of Orpheus. So in the Greek myth of Orpheus, Orpheus falls in love with this, he falls in love with Eurydice, his wife. She gets bitten by a snake, dies. He goes to hell looking for her, talks to the devil himself. He agrees that she can follow him out, but he can't look back at her. And right before he gets to the end, doubt gets to him, and he looks back and watches her fall into nothingness, and then he's really sad for the rest of his life, and he gets killed by his own people. So like the main part of that story is very similar to what goes on in this movie, where like they fall in love, she dies, she falls into like this big, like there's a lot of water involved in this one, which really was surprising that I didn't have to pee more. Like when she dies, when they die, they like they're in water and she's like getting drugged to the bottom. It was a cool visual. And then he comes back, learns how to do his crow stuff, crow things happen. Lots of fucking violence, like some amazingly good shots of violence. Like we all saw the tub scene in the trailer. There are crazier shit that happens. His whole rampage with a sword was chef's kiss. So good. It was very, very good. And I'm only touching on the stuff that they show in the trailer, right? So I'm trying not to spoil anything. But I gave it. So if this would have been a movie that was not Eric and Shelley, I would have given it a 7, 7.5. But because they put Eric and Shelley in a movie that is not Eric and Shelley's storyline, I I'm giving it a six. But I definitely recommend people checking it out. It was very gorgeous to watch. It was very well done. They definitely modernized the story a bit. But if this would have been two other people, not Eric and Shelley, and just would have been the Crow Five, it would have been, I think it would have been more, A, more accepted in the Crow fan base, and B, it's not going to draw as much problems being criticized.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different story, but it's Eric and Shelley. Like,
Yeah.
none of the other characters appear at all. And the
Which makes it
villain.
even dumber. The fact you're using the main character and the two main characters, you're like, you're not gonna use anybody else in the
Yeah.
entire
Right.
wow.
Yeah. And the main bad guy is a little MacGuffin-y, but he, like, they do a good job, like, kind of having him be like the overarching menacing boss guy.
Okay.
It's just all the other guys, like all the bad guys, like, die fairly easily, which is kind of a bummer.
Oh yeah, but that happens in all the Crow movies. It's
Right,
there are
right.
no bad guys, like none of the henchmen last very long.
Right,
Unless you're
right, 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 right.
unless Wicked Prayer. Wicked Prayer they lasted longer because Wicked Prayer was one of the dumbest like put together Crow movies I ever saw. And the only saving
That and
grace is,
Edward Furlong can't really beat people up.
yeah, it was like the worst.
Yeah.
You would have been better at, with David, what's his name?
Boreanaz.
Boreanaz being the Crow would have been more
Yeah.
believable.
Yeah. Right?
Instead,
Yeah.
but I mean, he did a good job being what Satan or Lucifer or whoever he was supposed to be, and.
Whatever the Native American version of that is, because that's
Well, he just said the
thanks.
devil. That's a, you know, they never really, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. So in the hierarchy of Crow movies, I'm putting it at number three of five. And it's a very close to, like, sec it's sec it's three, but it's very close to two. Like, two and three are very, very close. So I put the original first because not only was the scoring and the soundtrack great, the movie was also very good and told well. The second one, I like Salvation, which was the third
Yes.
movie, right? Then I'll put this one just underneath that one. And only because, like, I've seen Salvation a couple times and I like its soundtrack better.
Yes.
The scoring in both movies was great. Soundtrack in Salvation was killer.
Yeah.
Then I'd probably put City of Angels and then Wicked Prayer last, because Wicked Prayer was just not good.
Like you said, hot garbage.
Yeah, it was, you know, for as many stars as they had in it, I would have thought it would have been better, because, like, Tara Reid was in it too.
Yeah, the whole cast, they had like Marcy Gray at the height of her
Yeah.
pinnacle of her thing. And
Yeah.
who was the old guy? I forget what his name was.
In
The
Salvation?
priest. No, in Wicked Prayer. He was the
Oh. Hold on, hold on. Let me look
head Satan worshiping guy. I forget what his name.
it up. God, just looking at the
But
poster of this movie is awful. Well, Tito Ortiz was Famine.
yeah.
Marcus Chung was War.
Yeah.
Yuji Yakamoto was Pestilence.
Yep.
Tara Reid was Lola.
Yep.
David Boreanaz was Luke Crash. Rosenberg Sal something was the priest. Edward Furlong was Jimmy Servo, who was the crow. Oh, Danny Trejo is in it. Was
Yeah, Danny Trejo played his
that who
love's
you were thinking of?
father. No. He was a good guy.
Okay.
No.
Oh, Emmanuel Christie was Lily, so she was the love interest.
Yes. It was someone famous. Who's the bad guy in Speed? The actor.
In Speed?
Speed. Because
Oh man.
that's who was the he was the evil Satan priest in
Dennis
Wicked
Hopper?
Prime. That's it. Dennis Hopper, that's who it was.
Was he? Are you sure he was in Wicked Prime?
I think so, yeah.
Hold on, I'm gonna look.
Because I forget what he
You're
went.
right. He was
Yeah, El
El
Nino. That was his name. Yeah.
Oh God!
That's what it was. It was.
You know when you have a villain named El Nino, your movie is not going to be good. So,
Well, he was a pimp slash satanistic priest too. Like that
right,
was his shit. I'm like, wow. I was like, that is awful.
yeah.
It's just so.
I mean, like I said, if you can get over the fact that they use Eric and Shelley as the main characters' names, and just think of it as Crow 5, you're gonna
Yeah.
love it. Like
Yeah.
you're seriously gonna love it. It's just, like I said, there's a couple little things that I was like, man. But like,
You did say you didn't like the soundtrack that as much.
I didn't like the soundtrack, but I liked the scoring.
Yeah.
Because the scoring is very, very good. It's just the soundtrack was a little less, we'll call it a little less heavy than what I
Yeah.
always enjoy out of Crow soundtrack.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, it's
But
again, you're
yeah.
going to a new generation where, you know, the first Crow was definitely the alternative early
Oh,
goth era.
this is something that's gonna, this is really stupid, but it's weird to watch this movie and go, so this is in Detroit, because the cops are wearing Detroit police badge stuff on their
Oh.
shirts and stuff, right? But there's a lot of British people living there. And I'm just like, are there really that many British people that live in Detroit? Like what the hell? Like, that's not a Midwestern
So if this would have
accent.
been like Crow UK, this probably would have
Yeah, I mean, and
better.
then they could have got somebody like, fuck, David Tennant would have been an awesome Crow.
Well, how was
But
Skarsgård as the Crow? Was he good?
oh, he was awesome. He was great.
Okay.
Like don't like understand, like the things that make it weird for me are the things that are like, why did you use Eric and Shelley? Because it didn't
Yeah.
make any sense for them. Like it wasn't at all the same origin story, except that they fell in love and they died. Like,
Yeah.
but he was great. The girl who played Shelley was great. All the acting was very well done. It's just,
So basically, this was a writing thing.
yeah. Like I said, if they would have just not called used Eric and Shelley and just said Crow 5, like Crow
How much
UK,
do you
or
want to bet the studio made that call?
so I was reading some trivia, I guess, on IMDb about it,
Mm-hmm.
and someone said that there was a version of the Crow that was like a similar, it was basically like a new Crow, different background, different characters, and it was starting to be very good, and that was the one where Jason Momoa was attached, and then they started doing all these rewrites, and it basically became the original movie all over again, and that's when he was like, nope, not doing that. So I thought that was a very interesting
Well,
thing to
wasn't
think
that the
of.
rumor where he was talking to James O'Barr? Jason Momoa was talking to James O'Barr,
Yeah.
and how
It was like,
he wanted to be a Crow, like how much of a fan of the Crow movies and the Crow comics he is, because Jason Momoa, like Henry Cavill, He's a big geek. He's just a very
Oh yeah,
sexy,
he's giant.
handsome geek.
Who plays
And
bass? Plays heavy metal bass, yes.
So it's, he again, it's like the cool guy in Hollywood. It's like you got him, you got Henry Cavill, you got Joe
Right.
Manganiello, these sexy dudes who are geeks and nerds in their own way. And they want to do geeky, nerdy stuff, but they want to do it the right way, which that all the
Right.
that makes them more endearing even more in the community of we you know what we feel like. You
Agreed.
know if you did it shitty, you not only would you get backlash from us, you'd be feeling you would tell yourself, what the hell are you doing?
Right. What did I do? What was I doing here? Yeah. All right. So, going back to a thing that we haven't done in a while that I want to do again because I want to try to keep doing this. Deep thoughts with the deep return.
I was gonna
Just, and
say, is
I'll
wasn't
only
that
do a
only
couple of
through
them
the
because,
boys?
well, I forgot about it a couple times, so we're going to catch up. So, children in the dark cause accidents. Accidents in the dark cause children. Deep thoughts of the deep. If Halo 3 is so good, why is there no Halo 3 2? Deep thoughts of the deep. If a single drop of hand sanitizer kills 99.9% of germs, then put one more drop of the remaining 0.0%. What? Then put one more drop for remaining 0.1% germs. That was a really convoluted one. Let me try to find a better one. It takes a big man to cry, but it takes a bigger man to laugh at that man. Default. If an octopus is an octopus poisonous or venomous? No, seriously, this isn't a meme. I need to know. Default to the deep.
And if you watch the
Lot.
season finale of The Boys, you know
Right.
exactly where
If a liar
that
says I'm lying, are they telling the truth? Deep thoughts of the deep. If there was a contest for losers, wouldn't last place be the winner? Deep thoughts of the deep. No, that was really dumb. The opposite of pro is con. Does that mean the opposite of progress is Congress? Deep thoughts of the deep. The word British for British people is pronounced Brish, because they drank all the tea. Deep thoughts of the deep. And I'll leave it at that one. That was pretty bad.
That was
So
so
bad.
awful.
So, anyway, thanks guys for coming out and watching and hanging out with us tonight or listening. Make sure if you're in Morgantown this weekend, you go check out and say hi to Todd. If you're in Harrisburg, come say hi to me. If you go down to the waterfront on Saturday from 12 to 5, remember CBCS will be there. Robert Hack will be there signing stuff. You can drop stuff off for grading and send it out. They're doing cards, magazines, VHS, manga, comics, and something else that I can't remember, but they do a lot of stuff because they're, Beckett and stuff. So make sure you check that out. And I forgot, but if you're going to the Ed Pister Memorial Show, I wish we could go, but unfortunately, we're already at a bunch of other things. So, hopefully, everybody goes and says hi to Justine, Ed's sister, and buy some stuff to help them out. So,
Very much
all
so.
right. Well,
But also happy Pittsburgh Red Fair weekend too.
oh,
That's going
yeah.
on this weekend.
Oh,
And
and happy upcoming birthdays to Bo, who was a former co-host of the show. He's a manager out in Ohio. And then also Scott Smith, who's my assistant, one of the managers at the Mills. Both their birthdays are in the next coming days. Yeah, so if you see any of those guys, high fives, ball taps, whatever.
For a new listener, I got a new listener. And I don't know if she's going to spread the word, but for those who don't know, I play World of Warcraft, and the new expansion's coming out this weekend, actually.
So that's where Justin will be.
Well, I will play some, of course, but my guild leader, who is a she listens to podcasts all the time, and I told her that we do a podcast. She's like, "You never said this." And we've known each other for like 3 or 4 years now. And I'm like, "You never asked." So now we have a new listener. So I will go by her moniker, Miss P. Shout out to Miss P if you're listening. Hope you enjoyed this. You know, even though you are not a big pop culture nut, I hope this kind of gives you the whole picture of what I do for a living, at least part of the way.
Very cool. Also looks like our Riserverse friends are going to be at both the Edtester Con and at Morgantown. I do believe that Grant and some of the guys from Comicsburg will also be at the Eddie Pfister Memorial Show. So gonna be a good time. It's a busy weekend, guys. It's back to school. It's all kinds of stuff. Go out and buy some comics. It's gonna be a good time.
The weather's nice. It's not 90 degrees anymore. It's awesome. It's been
It might
awesome.
be this weekend though. Because
Oh, God.
there's a heat wave kicking through. Yeah, no, this is the crazy part, right? Like, so I'm watching the news this morning, and they do like, the whole US. So the East Coast is like slightly warming up again. The Midwest and Texas and the Southwest is like 115, and like Portland and Northern California is like 50s, and they're going to possibly see snow this weekend. So go figure that one. Global warming isn't a thing though, whatever. Anyway. All right, I'll see you guys later. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Thanks.